Radio Arts Catalyst. Sonic increase into art and research.
You're listening to a Radio Arts Catalyst audio production. Radio Arts Catalyst is a virtual space for collective conversations, creative expression, and alternative ways of organising. Through the radio, we're embarking on a journey into what radical spaces for individual and collective voices might look like today, and the potential of broadcasting as an ecology of overlapping spaces for listening, mapping, and transmitting. If you like this broadcast, then please consider leaving us a rating or a comment on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Readings from a selection of fictional gardens gathered by Haran Morrison.
The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros, 1983.
There were sunflowers big as flowers on Mars and thick coxcombs bleeding the deep red fringe of theatre curtains. There were dizzy bees and bow-tied fruit flies turning somersaults and humming in the air. Sweet, sweet peach trees. Thorn roses and thistle and pears. Weeds like so many squinty-eyed stars and brush that made your ankles itch and itch until you washed with soap and water. There were big green apples hard as knees, and everywhere the sleepy smell of rotting wood, damp earth, and dusty hollyhocks, thick and perfumey like the blue blonde hair of the dead. Yellow spiders ran when we turned rocks over, and pale worms, blind and afraid of light, rolled over in their sleep. Poke a stick in the sandy soil, and a few blue-skinned beetles would appear, an avenue of ants, so many crusty ladybugs. This was a garden, a wonderful thing to look at in the spring. But bit by bit, after the monkey left, the garden began to take over itself.
Claire of the Sea Light by Edwidge Danticat, 2013. He thought of the orchids and roses in his father's garden, the dragonflies that buzzed around after a heavy rain, and the fireflies that bombarded them at night. He thought of how the roses had been pummeled the night of the hailstorm, but still had enough nectar to attract a hummingbird the next morning. He thought of yellow jasmine, his mother's favorite flowers. She would tie a bouquet on the front of her bicycle, and the two of them would ride next to each other through town.
"1Q84" by Haruki Murakami, 2009. For a time, instead of speaking, they watched the birds that were visiting the garden. There was still no wind, and the branches of the willows hung motionlessly. Several branches were nearly touching the ground.
The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett, 1911. The things which happened in that garden. If you have never had a garden, you cannot understand. And if you have had a garden, you will know that it would take a whole book to describe all that came to pass there. A malnourished, unhappy orphan girl is transformed by her discovery of an abandoned secret garden all her own, where she can play in the fresh air and learn to nurture spring bulbs and help them grow. The garden's power is so great that it even entices Colin, a bedridden boy who suffers more from hypochondria and refusing to leave the house than anything else, to venture outdoors and see the spring arriving in the garden for himself.
The Enchanted April by Elizabeth von Arnim, 1922. That evening was the evening of the full moon. The garden was an enchanted place where all the flowers seemed white. the lilies, the daphnes, the orange blossom, the white stalks, the white pinks, the white roses. You could see these as plainly as in the daytime, but the colored flowers existed only as fragrance.
Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, 1864. She knelt down and looked along the passage into the loveliest garden you ever saw. How she longed to get out of that dark hall and wander among those beds of bright flowers and those cool fountains. It is in the garden that Alice finds the rabbit hole, and once she tumbles down it, she spies another garden from inside a hallway, which she feels she must get to if she is ever to find her way home. The image of the garden Alice is desperate to reach, with its cooling fountains and lush flower beds, sounds good enough to magically shrink yourself to get into.
Kubla Khan by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, 1797. And there were gardens bright with sinuous rills, where blossomed many an incense-bearing tree. And here were forests ancient as the hills, enfolding sunny spots of greenery.
Prayers for the Living by Ben Okri, 2019. In his garden, the blackbirds whistled their morning chorus. Usually, when he heard them, he knew that sleep was over for him.
Les Misérables by Victor Hugo, 1862. A garden to walk in, and immensity to dream in. What more could he ask? A few flowers at his feet, and above him, the stars.
Tom's Midnight Garden by Philippa Pierce, 1958. Nothing, only this. A great lawn where flower beds bloomed, a towering fir tree and thick, beetle-browed yews that humped their shapes down two sides of the lawn. On the third side, to the right, a greenhouse almost the size of a real house, from each corner of the lawn, a path that twisted away to some other depths of garden, with other trees. He would run full tilt over the grass, leaping the flower beds. He would peer through the glittering panes of the greenhouse, perhaps open the door and go in. He would visit each a club and archway clipped in the yew trees. He would climb the trees and make his way from one to another through thickly interlacing branches. When they came calling him, he would hide, silent and safe as a bird, among the richness of leaf and bough and tree trunk. The scene tempted him even now. It lay so inviting and clear before him. Clear cut from the stubby leaf pins of the nearer yew trees to the curled back petals of the hyacinths in the crescent-shaped corner beds.
The Perfumed Garden by Rafat Majdoub, 2013. Inside, I understood that the audience made stories, that stories made cities, that cities strive to be gardens, that gardens are liable to Eden. Inside, I understood that Eden was a subjective proper noun for the ultimate spatial beauty. I learned that the prophet, with Damascene gardens in his horizon, refused to enter the city. I learned that the ultimates would adjust to my whims in nuances of ephemeral perfume, and that the prophet refused to enter the gardens of Eden twice.